So the first time I ran into DST or whatever, you know, as a priest, I thought, man, I bet the parents are going to be having a great time today. They got an extra hour of sleep. And then I realized kids don't observe daylight savings time. Something interesting that you don't learn in seminary, right? In our first reading today, we heard just a sliver of this most incredible story from the second book of Maccabees. Some background on the first and second books of Maccabees is really helpful to understand what's going on. So these books take place during the Seleucid occupation of Israel. And if you don't know what the Seleucids are and had to look it up like me, it's one of the four kingdoms left after Alexander the Great died and his kingdom broke into parts. The part that controlled Israel was the Seleucids. And the emperor of that kingdom was attempting to force Greek and pagan religion on the people of Israel. And while many Jews bought in, they forsook their almighty God, and they offered sacrifice and worship in the pagan temples to the idolatrous deities of the Greeks. First book of Maccabees tells us that many did prefer to die rather than to be defiled with food or to profane the holy covenant. And then First Maccabees says, and they did die, and very great wrath came upon Israel. And with that background in mind, we come across the story of the seven brothers and their mother in our first reading today. The capital crime they had committed was refusing to eat pork. Imagine this: bacon on one side and death on the other, and they chose death. Wow. They were devoted to their covenant. These seven brothers stood firm in their resolve, saying, "We are ready to die rather than transgress the law of our ancestors." And so why did they stay so strong in their faith, even unto death? It's because they knew that God would save them. They said to their torturers, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life. But the King of the world will raise us up to live again forever." Each of these seven brave men were tortured to death in front of their mother. And this mother, she fearlessly told these beloved sons of hers, "I do not know how you came to be in my womb. It was not I who gave you breath and life, nor was it I who arranged the elements you are made of. Therefore, since it is the Creator of the universe who shaped the beginning of humankind and brought about the origin of everything, he, in his mercy, will give you back both breath and life, because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of the law." That's some mom right there. This entire family was tortured to death because they knew who God was, and they trusted that he would save them from whatever came in their path. And what's even more incredible to me is that this happened 150 years before Christ was born. They did not know of what God did to save us. They had never heard of the resurrection of Jesus Christ before. And yet these are some of the people of who Christ spoke in Luke chapter 10 when he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings longed and desired to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." These are those Jews who already know what Christ is teaching the Sadducees in the gospel today, that they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. In the face of this incredible witness of these brothers and their mother, how much more are we who have been born after the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, who do know how God has saved us? How much more are we called to give witness? How much more are we called to place God before anything that might come in our path? We who know this incredible story of our faith that we've been talking about for weeks now, that God created us out of nothing and out of his love. He sent his only Son to save us from certain damnation, and he left his Holy Spirit on this earth to animate us, the church, the body of Christ, the people of God. When we know all of this good news and it's been revealed to us, how much more are we called to respond than even those seven brothers? The early disciples in the Acts of the Apostles show us that the proper response, the only response to this, is living in a totally different way than the world asks us to, differently than society on earth. Whether this is through a bloody martyrdom like the brothers in Maccabees or St. Stephen or all of those martyrs which we know, or whether it's an unbloody martyrdom like Saints Francis and Claire of Assisi, St. Dominic or St. Hildegard of Bingen, St. Augustine or St. Monica, Christians have recognized throughout the ages that they must give themselves entirely over to God through His church. And they did this even when the church had horrible corruption within her, much worse than whatever it is that we see today, because the saints knew they needed to continue to build up God's church on this earth. And they knew that their devotion to God was much more important than any struggle or quarrel they might have with its human leadership. This is because the saints recognized that they need to give everything back to God. Because everything they have, whether it's goods on this earth or eternal salvation itself, everything the saints have, they know is a gift from God. And so by giving it back to Him, they not only fulfilled this natural need to give, which we all kind of know. How often have you heard that I enjoyed giving you that gift more than receiving, right? Especially at Christmas time. You know, I've always found much more joy in being the guy to wrap a million presents than unwrap a million presents. Not only did they fulfill this natural need they have to give, but through it, the saints grew in holiness. Not only did they make a sacrifice by offering up their time and their talent and their treasures to God through His church, but by doing so they learned humility and trust because they surrendered their own personal control over these gifts. They entrusted their gifts to the church established by God on this earth, even though they knew that there would be weak men, priests, bishops, and even popes who might squander those gifts. But at the end of the day, our Almighty God will bring good from whatever you give Him. We're nearing the end of the season of stewardship renewal here. And I ask you to prayerfully consider what you're going to offer to God through His church this coming year. After you've brought this to prayer and thought about it, please fill out your stewardship forms and bring them back here to Mass with you next weekend. We call it Commitment Weekend. It's the one where you bring all the forms. As of Friday, I'm told we received about 90 packets back. So next weekend, I'm hoping that we receive 1,160 more packets back. You can do it, guys. On my part, I promise that I will do my best to ensure whatever gift you give us is used for the glory of God and the building up of His church, not for any sort of personal gain or desire. And if you don't trust me to do that, ouch, but trust God. And also know that I really do believe there's a special place in hell for priests who take advantage of the gifts that the people of God give them. I know that everybody's in a different place. Some of us hate filling out these forms because we don't want to put a number on things. We might not like committing to anything for a year. Some of us might not think the church deserves our money or our time right now. If you find yourself in one of those places, I challenge you to bring it to prayer. Bring it to prayer and ask yourself, ask God, is this response going to help me become a saint? I leave you all with the words of St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, pray for us, so that the word of God may speed forward and be glorified. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you and the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ.